Hey there, my name is Oisín Lunny and welcome to Audio Talks, presented to you by Harman. Today we are going to celebrate music on the move. So portable music has never stopped moving, from the stylish danceette vinyl players of the 1950s to in-car stereos of the 60s, to sophisticated 8-track players of the 70s, to the epic cassette boomboxes of the 80s, to the portable CD players of the 90s and MP3 players of the noughties. And today, the latest Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 6 streams from a catalogue of millions of songs in a heartbeat. But this journey is more than just technological. It's emotional, it's cultural, and it is deeply personal. Today on Audio Talks, we're diving deep into the evolution and the future of portable audio. And I am delighted to be joined by two industry heavyweights, Carsten Olesen from Harman International and Guy Hammett from FutureSource Consulting. To kick things off, I asked Carsten how he defines portable audio and what makes it such a unique category in the world of consumer technology.
The reason why we even have a category we call portable audio is because before the portable audio category, you did not have audio products that you moved around, generally speaking. So portable audio products are products that you bring with you everywhere you go, due to the whole, what I call, audio infrastructure, 4G, 5G communication standard, Wi-Fi 6, the content material are available everywhere you go. That unleashes the audio experience over a vast number of applications, you know, ebooks, podcasts that like this show, music, mobile gaming. So that defines for me the portable audio category as we see it today. I'm a long-time user of portable audio products, and I think that's no shocking news. See, I've got a lot of land out here. I have tractors, and I run a horse farm. And even when I'm on a tractor, I bring my portable audio equipment. You know, just this last weekend, I've been sitting in the tractor for 20 hours. And of course, it's with portable audio equipment. Somebody calls me. The communication goes through loud and clear. And people can reach me. And yeah, I'm free, sitting in the tractor, rocking and rolling.
It's a vivid picture. Music is no longer tethered to walls, but to us. Guy Hammett, who heads up home audio research at FutureSource, reflects on how that shift shaped his own musical life.
I remember when I was young, you know, I had a cassette Walkman, and actually my dad had a CD Walkman, and I was very jealous of that. And, you know, you had maybe an album worth of songs, and that seemed great at the time. But if I look at kind of what's changed over the last 10 or 15 years from, you know, the iPods, where you could have maybe a few thousand of your favorite songs, which seemed amazing at the time, now it's pretty much unlimited selection. Whatever you want, whatever mood you're in, you can have the music to suit that environment.
So portability didn't just change how we listened, it changed the industry itself. I asked Guy what impact the portable category has had on the wider consumer electronics market.
So I think the standard kind of Bluetooth speaker is by far the most popular in kind of terms of the modern portable products. But what's actually been really interesting in the last few years is the rise of wireless portable party speakers. So these are bigger devices with party lighting, with DJ features, that have really kind of tapped into a new type of consumer. So really encouraging social listening. So these are, you know, very high power devices. You're not listening to these in the park on your own. You're with your friends. You're having a party outdoors. That's something that's really been popular in the last couple of years. It's a market that was very, very small, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but has really grown to be quite significant recently.
That cultural shift from solo listening to shared experiences has opened up a new kind of demand. Carsten recalls one pivotal moment when JBL flipped the game.
We reintroduced our first Flip, right? It was a revolution when Harman introduced the JBL Flip. It was not called JBL Flip 1 because we didn't know if there would ever come a 2, right? And that product configuration really did something right. because after a few months, we were already out of inventory and the demand of the products was so significant. We are around 2011. In that fall, we introduced Flip, quickly followed up by the JBL Charge. That was big things because now you could listen to music and charge your phone at the same time. I think for Harman's consumer business, the first generation of wireless products marked the kickoff of a 15 years strong consecutive growth story, really propelled the company into becoming number one wireless audio company, right? So yeah, there's history right there. But if you go further back, Austin, right, before wireless, there were many, many other historic moments that shaped, I think, the stage of audio listening, you know, with almost 80 years history in sound, being the number one brand at Woodstock, powering up all kind of events, and with the introduction of the first generation of wireless products for Harman. I think JBL and Harman over the years have shown great understanding of market trends, technology possibilities in innovation and technology, and been able to mix this together in forms that were appealing for selected target groups.
So, what innovations really stand out for our guests in 2025? Well, for Guy, it's not one breakthrough, but a consistent trend towards rugged, hassle-free audio.
I think the one for me that's really changed the game is how robust these products are now. So, you know, the first Bluetooth speakers 10 years ago, they were great in the right circumstances, but they were, you know, very nascent kind of in terms of the hardware. What we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years is that Bluetooth speakers, especially, they're dust proof, they're waterproof, they're drop proof, they're pretty much everything proof now. So I really like that I can take, you know, a fairly expensive piece of tech with me, and I can throw it in the swimming pool, I can drop it in the ocean, it still works fantastically. I can listen to it, it can float in the pool with me. So I really like being able to not worry about my expensive technology product potentially breaking and just really focus on the audio quality in the swimming pool or on the beach or something.
Karsten also spotlights the recent rollout of JBL's Flip 7 and Charge 6 and the AI-powered technology inside them.
Well, recently, and I met you in London, I think it was last month, we introduced our new Flip 7 and our new Charge 6. And both of these products have the new audio enhancement technology we call AI Sound Boost, which in principle really analyzes the incoming audio signal and steers the cone movement. And it's really audible. You tried it yourself on the Flip. You can hear enhanced audio rendering. So that investment in technology to drive audio forward is key for us. And we can see that consumers and reviewers are quite happy and impressed with our new technology, AI Sound Boost. What Hi-Fi gave us a 5-star review for the Flip 7 and another 5-star review from the Charge 6, right? So of course we like that very much. So I would say features like AI Sound Boost, new features, new technologies, investment areas for us. It's a little bit like in the older days, and I've been here 30 years, I think I mentioned that earlier. In the early days, we were manually voicing speaker products. We were literally sitting days listening and then voicing them. And today, a lot of the audio enhancement and quality improvement lies in the DSP. So you adjust your DSP, you have your DSP mapped out. Then it's that, say, I would say it's a little bit like you have an electric vehicle, an EV, and you download the new software. Now you have 5% more horsepower. So are the laws in the physical world. We use more and more digital tools from, you can call AI, that's helping us to understand how to steer and manage the audio signal with the sole purpose of delivering the best in class. And with the Flip 7 and Charge 6, with the 5-star reuse, I think we are pretty close to what is possible today from these enclosures.
So what does the future hold for portable audio? Well, both Guy and Karsten agree, a quiet revolution is coming, and it's been led by Bluetooth LE and Auracast.
A really interesting feature that we're keeping our eye on at the moment is Auracast. So Auracast is part of the updated Bluetooth specifications. So there are a few models on the market now, primarily from JBL actually, that do have Auracast, but we're expecting to see a lot more in the next couple of years. So what Auracast can do that the current iterations of Bluetooth can't do is offer a better quality audio experience to consumers. It also offers very easy pairing of speakers, so you can very easily listen to stereo content or potentially in the future even multi-channel content. And what we think is really crucial about Auracast is that it offers this better consumer experience without any extra complexity from the consumer. So for really dedicated audiophiles who want the best sound quality, there are already features and technologies available that can offer this really good sound quality, but it requires the consumer to do a lot more work. They have to go out and find the appropriate streaming service. They have to make sure that that works with their speaker. And for your average consumer who just wants something that works very simply and sounds great, that's a bit too much work. But with these new technologies, the audio brands are able to marry the convenience of the current products with a higher quality experience with no negative trade-off for the consumer. So that's something that, again, we're really excited for in the next couple of years.
So right now, there's a lot of innovation around Bluetooth Low Energy 5.3, Auracast, and it brings a new dimension of possible use cases. And I think that's very interesting that with the Bluetooth communication standard and connectivity, you can now not only enjoy technically higher bandwidth, lower latencies, longer reach, but you can seamlessly connect many devices together and make a broadcast. In some areas, you'll say you almost have Wi-Fi-like performance levels and possibilities. But on the other hand, you can maybe say you have the simplicity of the Bluetooth connectivity protocol, right? So I think whereas maybe the last 3 to 5 years, the trend has been, you know, and continues to be, how do you press optimal audio performance from small enclosure, right? Without eating too much battery life, because portable audio always have a battery. So battery lifetime is key for the consumer. You know, the party can't stop because you're running out of battery. So battery lifetime, audio performance is still key, right? And now with the new connectivity, my projection is that this will further spark more interest in the Bluetooth standard. Give it, let's say, maybe even a third or fourth life, right? Because there are now so many things you can do. I would add one more thing. We talked a lot about flip and charge and our well-known shapes of the iconic cylindric audio product, but also part of portable audio category, we have the JBL's Party Box, of course, right? The platform where light and audio comes together. One wouldn't necessarily call the largest device, the Party Box Ultimate, a portable speaker, but we have equipped it with wheels so you can now transport it all along. So we've got so much going on in the portable and we've got so much innovation. You know, when we talk about Party Box innovation around the audio rendering, of course, but also the light show and external elements is really boosting that party vibe.
So we're going to end this episode where so many listening journeys begin with a track. I asked both of our guests what they're listening to on their favorite portable devices right now and to add it to their Audio Talks VIP title playlist.
So this might be a little bit cliche right now, and I know the Super Bowl was maybe a couple of months now, but I'm still listening to a lot of Kendrick Lamar. Anything off his new album is fantastic by me.
In terms of music, I still have The Weeknd's main song that came. It's a playlist, so it comes several times and I'm too lazy. So it goes on and on. I heard John Mayer, Call Me the Breeze. It's actually really originally a song by J.J. Cale, then redone by Eric Clapton. And John Mayer recorded a version of his own a few years back. And it's very rhythmic, it's very bluesy, and this is my number for today.
Fabulous choices both. And my own contribution to the playlist is Weather Report and Teen Town from the album Heavy Weather, because it is the first track I ever remember hearing on a portable device on headphones. It was on my father's brand new portable cassette player on a bus towards Donegal in Ireland, way, way back in the day. And all of a sudden, the bus journey was transformed. Did I want to give back the headphones? I did not. So there you have it. From classic rock and jazz fusion to cutting edge hip hop, the soundtrack of our lives is portable, powerful, and deeply personal. Thank you so much to Guy Hammett and Karsten Olesen for your insights. And thanks to you for listening to Audio Talks. If you liked what you heard, be sure to follow and share. Until next time, keep your music close and your speakers closer. For more exclusive content, some behind-the-scenes goodies, and maybe even some competitions, connect with us over on the Instagram. You can find us at Audio Talks Podcast. We'll be back soon for some more magnificently mobile Audio Talks. See you next time.